Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help the fellow man. And we can make it better. Do you really think we can?
Yeah, well, we do. We think we can. And it's not really us. We don't think we can do it, but we believe that God can do it in and through us. And so that's why we serve him. And that's why we have The Catch. And that's why we have Catch Blog Talk Radio, to help us do that and to help us learn from people who are out in the world and in many ways seeking to make a difference in the culture. And that's what we're excited about. We are not, even though some of us now are getting older, we are not waiting around for the Lord to come back. That is not what we're all about. And we are all about finding out what he wants us to do all the way to the end. And one of the things we believe here at The Catch is that God wants us to be an encouragement and to come alongside and help younger people, especially millennials who are seeking to serve the Lord. And we see a lot of similarities in millennials today, similarities to where we were at when in our generation, when we were 20 and 30 years old. The Jesus movement, a society that was convulsive, the civil rights, the racial unrest, the war in Vietnam. Boy, everything was exploding all over the place. And my goodness, I look at the newspaper today, and here we are again. And I see a lot of similarities. So we're here to help encourage a lot of the younger people. I know it's different. It's not the same world it was for us, but some of the things are similar, and that's where we hope that we can connect. And our guest tonight is a perfect example of this. He is a millennial from Portland, Oregon, and he works as a program specialist for Multnomah County Department of Human Services. He is vice president of a union of over 3,000 workers, where they seek to reach especially the disenfranchised and those who have been shut out of society due to racial and other things. So we are, this guy is really connected and very much involved with the needs, the real needs of people in the world around him and in his city especially. So we're going to have a great discussion right now. I hope that you won't go away, and that you would please welcome our guest, Raymond Da Silva. Raymond, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, The Catch.
John, thank you for the kind introduction. And first and foremost, as a representation of the millennial generation, thank you for coming alongside of us to encourage, to inspire, and to really walk with us side by side right now. This is such an important time for generations to merge and to reflect and to really seek where God is moving in our land, mm-hmm. in these times.
Raymond, tell us in a nutshell, boy, things have heated up, have they not? In, say, the last maybe even 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. Of course, you can go back to George Floyd incident in Minneapolis as being a real catalyst for starting all kinds of movements in this country. What's going on? You're right in the middle of a city, and you've got your fingers on a lot of the pulse of especially some of the younger people and the needy people. What do you think is happening? I know that's a big question, but just take it wherever you want to take it and kind of give us a picture of what's going on in the world right now.
It's a good question. And it's a question that, as a Portlander and a millennial, I'll give you my perspective from what I'm seeing. In each region, there's different things that God is doing, how he's healing the land, bringing people together for a purpose. But particularly in my hometown, Portland, Oregon, here in the Pacific Northwest, what I'm seeing on the ground level is people that follow Jesus and in the community wrestling with God. And I've never seen this before. Just as Jacob wrestled for the blessing of God, I see different people groups wrestling for justice, wrestling for righteousness, and looking for practical ways to move forward. But even in the practicality, we are still in a time of racial unrest. I believe tonight will be the 82nd day since George Floyd's murder that there'll be continued protests in our streets.
Wow. It's interesting to hear you talk about Jesus in the midst of all of this. And that makes me very excited. Here's what I want to know about, though, because you are not in a religious environment. From what I can tell, now you have formed this group in worship, but that's something you did on your own, and I don't see that you are representing any kind of church or Christian organization, and yet you are serving in the context of the city and of a union and all these things, and yet you're able to talk freely about Jesus. Is that something that you see as new? Is that something you can do? Are you free to talk about Jesus, or do people get upset, or is it a little bit like it used to be for us 50 years ago when we talked about Jesus? Everybody actually wanted to hear about it.
You know what? Portland has been known for so many things, and I think just as perhaps 100 years ago to even right now, you say the name of Jesus and there's resistance. And as a follower of Jesus, I am in the secular. I am in the mainstream. I'm in government. I'm in labor, in unions, as a union officer, vice president. But the thing that grounds me in all that is my walk with God. And I think that is where I've been able to have the patience to see the signature of God in my life. Did I think that I would be going on this path? I didn't. But in that process, I was able to walk with Jesus and to ask him questions of how to really seek the kingdom of God in the workplace.
Are you able to partner with others who are also following Jesus?
In my day-to-day roles, by an employee of the county and the unions, in that aspect, I don't partner with faith-based organizations directly, but it's in those spaces of being with the marginalized, being with the oppressed, I see Jesus, and that's where God has used me, is when people have felt invisible, I see them, because I believe that's the gaze of Jesus, of seeing those that are heard and devalued. And through those experiences in the secular and in government, there was a call of God to ask me, create sacred spaces for worship and intercession, and to really focus on repairing belonging and reestablishing trust between ethnic groups where there's been a racial divide. And that's been the formation of this worship storyteller experience called In City Worship. And it is all about bringing cultures, ethnic groups, all to seek forgiveness and to reconcile our city. And it's more so a spiritual discipline where we do this annually every year for the past 4 years to seek justice, to seek righteousness, but from a biblical perspective, how God sees it.
So tell us a little bit more now about in city worship. What actually is that?
So in city worship is a space where people come together, where perhaps where there's been mistrust. It began about 4 years ago, where there was a lot of local and national racial unrest related to the epidemic of young Black men dying in the streets, and also the retaliation of a police brutality. And to really to be in that tension of our in faith, in that tension of conflict, but at all times centered in love. So with that, me and some of my friends were like, hey, let's put on a worship space that brings people together to begin to heal. That's such a strategic, instrumental posture to experience restorative worship. It's not always a worship that is praise and high lifting per se, but it's really have this humility to connect the generations, connect the ethnic groups, to really start blurring the lines where when we pray and dance and worship together, we actually begin to heal. And through that, we actually become one in God. And ultimately, from that response to worship, it's the starting point of let's learn how to begin loving each other again. So each year we've had these annual worship spaces, and now we're also hosting these weekly online dialogues to discover or perhaps rediscover how do we begin loving each other like Jesus has called us to do.
Well, that's great. Who do you see participating in this so far?
Through the times that we've been meeting through the worship, it's been a beautiful experience. As just a couple weeks ago, we had our virtual in-city worship. A worship pastor by the name of Lamont Williams. He is an African-American gospel singer. And also my friend Brant Colella, who's the worship pastor at the Collective Church, and also Alyssa Fitchie, a worship leader as well, where you could see just the historical context of here's gospel music, but here's also contemporary worship. But to see them, to see them playing together and merging the genres and sharing their heart for restorative worship to Jesus has been a very transformational moment for them to continue to learn how to love God and also just relationally love each other. And through that example, we've been having a really diverse online dialogues for the past couple of weeks of different generations and ethnic groups talking about what's the roots of racism. What does it look like to be an ally today? Later tonight, we're going to be talking about seek kingdom justice and righteousness as the next generation. And it's all around the context of repairing belonging, restoring trust, and also just to really focus on how do we begin loving each other again.
Well, do you ever in your secular business and responsibilities in town, and then with your faith, do you ever see any conflict with those? Are you able to are you able to work them together side by side? Talk to me a little bit about that.
The most important thing that I see, probably from the eyes of a millennial, it's the depth of a relationship that matters. And I really believe the depth of a relationship brings a true reconciliation. And as I walk the streets of Portland or my way in the city, it's really about the fullness and the richness of relationships that are around. And through that, I don't necessarily see the conflict of my faith, because people, the community, my friends, my family, they have actually gotten to know me as a person. We actually have built that relationship. It's gone through the fire, John, where it's been tested, tried and true, and to really be certain, is Raymond really for me? Is Raymond really there, going to be willing to be there when the times get tough and hard? Are we able to take that risk together? And it's all about having that relationship where through repairing that trust, I've been able to walk my whole faith in Jesus and not necessarily really hide it, to kind of be open about it, like, this is my spiritual background. This is where I'm coming from in my style of communication and the way that I have cross cultural ethnic relations with each other. And through that mutual respect, I haven't really experienced much of that tension in that way. Is there a spirit of oppression and racism over the land that I live? Yes. But the people groups, whether they know it or not, they're really wrestling with God, and they're really wrestling for justice. And the heart of it, that is the heart of God, because it's the foundations of his throne, justice and righteousness. And we're doing that here as a community and city.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic. Talk to me as a white person. Okay. I think the thing I've noticed about Black Lives Matter and a lot of the marches that have been going on, white people are getting involved. And it's almost like there's been a waking up, and people are beginning to at least see that, just to say, well, God is colorblind and we're all the same, is really not a way to understand or listen. and that no, we really aren't all the same. And for 400 years, things have been a lot different for one group of people, or one color of people. And how can we possibly understand that? And I think there's a lot of, you know, in other words, there's a lot of unconscious racism. I would call them the unknown or unconscious sins of racism among white people. It's a terrible question, but what can we do about this? How do you change so many years of ingrained ways of thinking? Talk about that a little bit.
So with every movement, there's always different groups. The thing that is most recent that folks can probably relate to is the civil rights movement. In that movement, you had the Black Panthers, you had the Nation of Islam, and you also had Dr. Martin Luther King, the gospel of Jesus and love. And today we have the Black Lives Matter movement, and there are just as different splinter groups that are involved. You here in Portland, we're known for anarchy. It's where it originated. We have different. We've been known just in the news of the mothers creating a wall for safety at the protests. We also have Don't Shoot Portland, a nonprofit for Black Lives against police brutality. So there's all these different sub movements and also people wanting and desiring justice. But as a follower of Jesus, it's always asking, what is God's heart and what does he want? And in my time of doing justice work and during a time of 2020 where there is a justice quake for our nation and for the multi-generations right now that are being formed, is I believe it's a time where not a gospel of salvation, it's not a gospel of grace, but it's a gospel of kingdom. And it's really looking how to seek righteousness where it's sustainable and long-term, and to really bring clarity and expectations for the family of God, as children of God, to really go back to how we begin loving each other. And through the ministry of reconciliation, we sometimes have to have those clear expectations how to love, because culture is important to the translation of love. We have to be able to have the cultural humility to understand someone else's background that's different from you, to love them. We have to go at the speed of belonging. And in that, we can see not that it's wrapped. Yes.
Raymond, I'm not sure. You're breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure if there's anything you can do about that. Maybe I just wanted to mention that. We missed about the last couple sentences.
Got it. Hopefully you could hear me a little bit better now.
Okay.
But the important aspect is it's almost having the expectations of how do we love each other. And by learning how to love each other, it's also having the cultural humility to understand someone else's different heritage, ethnic background, their family lineage, of how they want to be loved and what love means to them. And I think that's where we have to start beginning to have that relationship, to do that work, and also to separate the politics, but also also the value black bodies, the value black men and women, and to trust and hear their stories and embrace the inequities and the injustices that they have experienced, and to come alongside of them, because that's where I believe Jesus would be, walking with them side by side.
Okay. That's great. That helps a lot. Gosh. I want to talk just a little bit about millennials. We're really, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we are really excited about the millennials who are with us, and we want to reach out to more, and we're really looking for a connection that we feel in many ways connects with some of our roots as boomers in the 70s, late 60s and 70s. So tell me a little bit about how do millennials see our country right now? How do they see it? I'm sure differently than we see it. I know that's a very general question, but just love to hear what you might say about that.
Just like much of our right now, geographically, and even as a nation, we're polarized. We're polarized politically. We're polarized relationally between ethnic groups. We're polarized even how we treat each other, and even what we see in the media and what we read. You see it glaring in the
Raymond?
Volume.
Yes. Raymond, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you because I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that even within millennials, there is this polarization?
Yeah, there is that polarization effect in millennials. When you think about it, even geographically, or even in subgroups, there is that after effect right now, where we are living in a time where there is a justice quake, and in that justice quake, that ripple effect, Sean, is there are aspects of divide that is happening right now in what I would say how some feel like they unrest right now, and in that disruption, millennials are also trying to figure out what is my response right now. And part of that response of millennials, and I think it's common to boomers as well. We get each other. It's the ability to speak truth to power, and what I mean by that is it's calling out, I see the injustice, I see the inequity, I just need to start off by acknowledging it even exists. And even with that, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing early stages of grassroots movements of where millennials really want to care, where I would almost use the phrase, it's a youthful righteousness, where they want to make things right. And part of making things right, and I think this is a constructive love feedback from millennials, is although they have a can-do attitude and let's do it, it's almost sometimes the millennials lack the patience for once. And second, it's also the wisdom to do it. Because once you speak truth to power, what's next? It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's that righteousness to create constructs, that are actually make a long-term impact, where it's actually a spiritual discipline, but it's also a construct of organizations that actually move this work forward of helping the marginalized, loving the oppressed, and to really being justice-focused. And I've never seen a time where millennials call on their life to do so than ever right now.
Mm. Boy, that's great. That's good news. You may have already answered my last and final question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and maybe you can carry it a little further. What as you look at the scene right now, what are you hopeful about?
When I look at my peers, the young generation, and when I look out to the nation, I am hopeful that there will be a time where we see the signature of God of what he's trying to do right now, where there has been a generational gap that we start to bridge it with God's love, and where particularly where there's been missteps and harm in the church, that we start to see the marginalized and the oppressed, where we start to see the power of Matthew 3 of the Beatitudes, and to really to see the kingdom of God is with the oppressed. It is with those that have experienced injustice, and to see the generations and also the ethnic groups to start to heal together as we wrestle and to seek God with justice and righteousness that is grounded in Jesus.
Hmm.
That's my hope and prayer and what I see in the coming days, John. It may start out as a small remnant right now, because that's how sometimes the Lord moves. But in that work, if the millennials and the boomers and all these ethnic groups have the patience and also the intentionality to begin to love in that discomfort, I believe we're going to be entering a season where we'll be start hearing phrases, heal the land, heal the people. And that time of healing and the ministry of reconciliation is something that I believe we can all look forward to as children of God.
Well, Raymond, I can't thank you enough. This has truly been wonderful. And I really love it's a brief picture, but you've given us an amazing picture of trouble and upheaval, but a great picture of hope too. So gosh, this is great. Thank you so much. And I'm sure that we will be talking more. I'd love to have you back, and we can get into some of these things more specifically, but know that we'll be praying about you and about your ongoing work, especially within City Worship. And I pray God blesses everything that you are doing about there. And let's keep in touch. That's all I can say. This is great.
John, thank you again for the invitation. We'll love to come back and share more with you. And thanks again for coming alongside of me and the millennial generation to see God to begin to complete what he's called us to do together.
Great. I'm excited. Thank you so much, Raymond, and God bless. Talk to you. Talk to you later. What do you think of that, folks? Very real picture of things going on. Portland, Oregon. Somebody on the inside. This is it again. Went by too fast. See what the Lord would have to do. Where can you help? Where can we listen? Cultural humility, values goes down. The part of his justice place. This is good stuff, folks. So listen, not that. We will join you again next week. Blog Talk Radio. Don't miss it. It's getting better and better.